Welcome to the Weekly Wire, EventWire's Sunday Review of the Week in Live Events production. I'm your host, and this is episode number 5. It has been a genuinely enormous week for the live events business. Live Nation posted $7.7 billion in second quarter revenue. Universal Music Group crossed $3.83 billion. Sphere beat expectations. Warner Music quietly cycled through its C-suite. Ticketing came under new political scrutiny in Washington. A co-founder of Blackmagic Design sued his own board. Two of Pro Audio's most storied console brands unveiled flagships in the same week. And in the middle of all of it, John Mulaney announced a 9-night, 9-venue Manhattan residency. Let's get into it. We'll start with touring and festivals, because the money is loud. Live Nation's second quarter earnings were frankly staggering. $7.7 billion in revenue, up 9% year over year, driven by a 10% rise in fan attendance. This is not a company slowing down. Ticketmaster's live events volume is climbing, sponsorship is climbing, the stadium tour category continues to explode. Universal Music delivered its own signal of confidence, $3.83 billion in the quarter, up more than 13%, largely powered by Noah Kahan, BTS, and Olivia Rodrigo. Sphere's second quarter results likewise beat expectations, cementing the Vegas venue's role as a global anchor point for large format spectacle. And HYBE, on the strength of the BTS ARang World Tour, posted a record quarter of its own. Beyond the earnings calls, the touring headlines were rich. Bad Bunny's Debí Tirar Más Fotos World Tour has now recorded a genuinely astonishing $467.5 million in gross ticket sales, another milestone for Latin touring globally. Jay-Z's Yankee Stadium residency continued to draw industry-wide analysis this week, with Pollstar's inside piece on Roc Nation CEO Desiree Perez becoming one of the most read pieces of the summer. And John Mulaney announced what may be the most theatrically ambitious residency of the year, 9 venues in 9 nights, culminating at Madison Square Garden. Elsewhere, Joe Dassey announced a 35th anniversary tour, Natanael Cano confirmed U.S. stadium shows, and Godsmack expanded the Rise of Rock tour. Latitude UK signed a 20-year lease renewal at Henham Park, welcome long-term stability for one of Britain's most beloved festivals, and Osiaga heads into its 19th year on what organizers describe as the best ticket sales in festival history. On the production side, Meyer Sound marked 40 years as the global official sound partner of the Montrose Jazz Festival, an extraordinary partnership milestone for both brands. DB Technologies deployed at MAB Event Technique's annual festive gala in Germany. Adlib's Ringmaster camera brought fans closer to Youngblood on tour. Whitney Hoverston dialed up the dynamism of Bruno Mars' romantic tour with Ayrton fixtures. Robe Gigapoints lit the Starnacht concerts. Absin JP5 Pro powered Sonic Temple. Lau sat at the heart of the audio approach for the Bastille Day open-air concert in Paris, and Rogers Stadium is evolving into Toronto's semi-permanent large-scale concert venue in only its second season. Now to gear launches, and it was quite the week. Solid State Logic unveiled Odyssey, its flagship analog console. That alone would have been the story of any normal week, but in the same week, Tascam introduced the RX BT10 Mark II Bluetooth receiver. Hollyland launched the Mellow P1 portable multi-track recording system. Sound Particles released BeatPanner 1.1 with object metadata automation. Dangerous Music launched the new Bax EQ plugin. Waves debuted the Atlas Reverb. Beyer Dynamic introduced the DT275 Pro monitoring headphone, and Kit Plugins brought the famous Blackbird Studios D Reverb Chamber into the DAW as a plugin. On the video and AV side, Blackmagic rolled out its Ultra Studio Mini 12G range. Chief launched the Tempo flat panel in-wall mount system. A10 expanded its Presenton dongle line. And AV Stumpful launched an interactive 3D and AR configurator that dramatically simplifies projection screen specification. Extron introduced the BT100 ATD Compact Bluetooth Dante Audio Interface, and Amadeus Acoustics rolled out a new downmix engine feature for Art Director, giving surround engineers finer control over stereo fold-downs. It was, by any reasonable measure, a bumper week for our industry's product roadmaps. Turning to installations and venues, this week's most striking install had to be Nanolumen's illuminating CSX transportation headquarters in Jacksonville with a bespoke skyline install, one of the most memorable corporate deployments of the season. Canada's largest performing arts center turned to Robert Julia for a full lighting upgrade. GLP's JDC Burst 1 powered Tiger Cub's landmark London show at Coco. Chauvet evoked a moody vibe for the Vampire Lestat premiere. A German museum used Genelec speakers to recreate the sounds of a Cold War-era U-17 submarine, one of the most unusual acoustic storytelling projects of the summer. Lucent lighting elevated the rooftop escape Azutia in Leeds with layered architectural work. Christie projectors continued to power the Hockey Hall of Fame in Toronto. Nexo turned up the volume at Hype's flagship Carnival Mall store in Asia. Sony powered the Better Warsaw Architecture Showroom, and Alicron Group Studios completed a full monitor upgrade using Amphion.
To people moves. This was one of the busiest weeks in the corporate C-suite calendar in a while. Warner Music Group promoted Tom Corson to a new role as COO while CFO Armin Zerza exited. HYBE promoted Jenny Proft to Chief People and Transformation Officer in a new global role. Providence Equity bought out Wasserman and elevated Watts to CEO of the team. Sony Music Publishing promoted Ari Gala to Senior Vice President of Creative A&R. Ben McCohen-Wasson was named the new CEO of the UK's PRS for Music, one of the most influential rights society appointments of the year. Universal Music Group hired Seiyin Fu as President of Global Supply Chain. Christian Downs was promoted to Executive Director of Platform Operations at Secretly Distribution. Rhiannon Giddens signed with WME, and Salamander Designs appointed Joel Hall as Director of Commercial Business Development. In more difficult news, Patreon announced a 20% staff reduction, its biggest round of cuts to date. And one of Blackmagic Design's co-founders is now suing the company's directors over what has been reported as a $98 million Australian stake. That story is worth watching closely because it signals the possibility of internal budget realignment at one of the biggest names in professional video. Now to industry news, artificial intelligence, and rights. Music publishers filed an amended lyrics lawsuit against Anthropic. Suno faces a proposed class action over a data breach, adding to the AI music company's already substantial legal calendar. Suno also lost a critical German court battle. And in a genuinely consequential move, majors, indie labels, and rights bodies, including HYBE, BMG, and Concord, have proposed new chart eligibility rules for AI-generated music, one of the most influential industry standards conversations of the year. GEMA in Germany launched Ply, a fully licensed AI service, as it awaits the verdict in its Suno copyright case. And on the ticketing regulatory front, U.S. lawmakers are demanding answers from the StubHub CEO over what they've called alleged market manipulation. The Massachusetts Senate advanced ticketing reform after a significant artist push. SoCan acquired CMRRA from SoundExchange, a major consolidation in North American Rights Administration. Elsewhere, K-pop is driving a surprising surge in physical CD sales, according to Mix Online, a genuinely counterintuitive data point. Snapchat now lets users share and save Spotify songs via SnapMap, reaching 450 million monthly users. Universal Music completed a 500 million euro share buyback. Live Nation announced plans to develop South America's largest indoor arena in Sao Paulo. And Jean-Michel Jarre published a new book chronicling electronic music history, a lovely note in a week dominated by earnings and enforcement. We also want to note a sad piece of news. Kavinsky, the French DJ and composer of the iconic track Night Call, has died at age 50. His influence on cinematic electronic music will be felt for a long time to come. Training in community this week, Avixa formally launched its new partnership with Future Source Consulting on ProAV research. The third annual Stage Managers Academy is returning to LVI 2026, expanding one of the industry's most useful mentorship programs. SoundGirl's Bay Area chapter hosted a tour of the California Historical Radio Society. Mix Magazine and Pro Sound News published their 2026 House of Worship Sound eBook. RCF's X Series achieved EN 5424 certification for voice alarm systems, a meaningful safety milestone. And PSA Network launched its inaugural Technician Boot Camp to advance security industry workforce development. Podcasts and closing notes. Marcel over at the Geezers of Gear podcast had a strong week, publishing three episodes: The Human Time Code Behind Weird Al's Live Show, Building a Community for Women in Live Music with Malay Koss, and The Power of Kindness in Industry Transitions with Patty Thurston, all worth a listen. ProSound Web's Church Sound podcast, episode 146, tackled when to consider a system upgrade. And Rave TV, episode 276, asked the excellent question, what if the experience is the product? That's the week. 7.7 billion at Live Nation, two flagship consoles, a 98 million Australian lawsuit, a 20-year UK festival lease, and John Mulaney taking Manhattan for nine nights straight. If any single week captured how alive and how large this industry has become, it was probably this one. This has been The Weekly Wire, a Geezer Media Group audio property. Have a great Sunday, and I'll talk to you next week.